Now we come to the gospel, and we see Jesus so committed to his vocation, practicing justice, totally obeying the Father. You see? Justice is honoring the truth of the relationship. Jesus is the infinite, eternal Son of God. And in his humanity, he honors that truth. He does the will of the Father. So this text, which is Mark 8, starts with verse 29. It's the first of the passion predictions. You see, as I'm going to point out, this is the turning point in Mark's gospel right now. In chapter 8, verse 27, that precedes exactly what we have now. You see, disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi, which means outside the Holy Land. You see? And along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said in reply, "Oh, John the Baptist, Elijah, somebody from another world." This is what they're trying to say, you know. John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the prophets. He says, "Well, who do you say I am?" And Peter, moved by a grace of state, he's going to be the Pope, right? "Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not, and you, having been strengthened, confirm your brothers." That's in Luke, right at the Passion, at the Last Supper. So here. "And so Peter said to him, 'You are the Messiah. You're the one we've been waiting for now for, well, depends on when you want to start. Son of Abraham, then 19 centuries. Okay. You are the Messiah.' Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him." Keep it quiet. "And he began to teach them." Peter calls him Messiah. Jesus calls himself Son of Man. And we will consider that title more. It's two things at once. I can say this much now. Son of Man is a very mysterious figure, right? It's in Daniel 7:13. Maybe we should just look at it briefly. You see, everybody's got the Bible. The Jewish people don't, the Christians put the prophets last, so they're right before the New Testament. The Jewish people put the prophets before the writings. Now I got to find Daniel someplace. Now that I'm launched on this, I might as well keep on going and try to read it for you. It's where Daniel has a vision. You have to really fight to get to the place here. Oh, they put it early. That's why I can't find it. All right. Starts with 7. And he has this vision, you see? "As I watched, thrones were set up, and the Ancient One took his throne," and describes who he is, you see? "The court was convened, and I watched." Then the visions during the night continued, and then I saw one like a Son of Man. Now there, it means like quintessentially human. But it becomes a title, you see? Like, you remember the war, it's a funny example, but it was the Iraq War, and Saddam Hussein said, "This is the mother of all wars." You see, that's the way Semites talk, you know. So the Son of Man coming on the clouds, and when he got there, he received kingdom, power, and everything. All the world worshipped him. But when Jesus starts to use the term, all that glorious is not lost. That's the passion prediction. But he's also saying, "I am the child of mankind. I am mankind's child. I am the Son of Man. I am the fruit of all humanity." What humility and what majesty at the same time. So he began to teach them. Peter said, "You're the Messiah." Jesus starts to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and rise after 3 days. This is the first time that's been mentioned in the gospel. This is the first passion prediction. There'll be two more. And every time, after the passion prediction, the disciples behave in a totally inept way. This is the worst, the first one. You see? He said this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. You know? This isn't fitting. You know? At this he turned around and looking at his disciples so that they're all hear what he's going to say to Peter, said, "Get behind me, Satan." This is one of his best friends. He just rewarded him that my father has. A minute and a half later, Satan. Why? You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Human, human, human. Can't you get it in your head to think like my father? So he goes on. He summoned the crowd. He wanted everybody to hear the rest of this now. The crowd and the disciples. And then he describes our vocation. Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's why Peter was upset. Oh, far be it from you, Lord. Far be it from me. You see? And so, but whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it. And then some more. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? What could one give in change for his life? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this faithless and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. So be alert. You see, every time our Lord predicts the passion, there is a totally inept response. That's trying to tell us something, right? The first one is fear of suffering. See? The second one is more like big shots. And the third is worse. When they go and say, "We want to be at your right and left at your kingdom," right after the prediction of the passion. So he says, "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" "Oh, yeah." He said, "You will." He's predicting their passion, you know. "But to give to the right and left, that's not mine. It's reserved for my Father to do that." Every time he predicts the passion, the disciples respond with great total ineptitude. What's the lesson, folks? So do we. It's okay that Jesus suffered 2,000 years ago and saved us, but what are we going to do? Are we going to put up with contradiction? Are we going to lose a job because we're Catholic? Are we going to shut up and not say anything? Are we going to sing along with Mitch when people are pushing abortion? What are we going to do? And if you do all that, then the Son of Man will be ashamed of you. Doesn't mean you necessarily have to go to hell. But you see, this is for real, folks. Every time the Lord talks about his passion, they don't get it, and we don't either. Why did he have to suffer like that? To free us from sin. What's the connection? Why does that suffering of the Son of God free us from sin? St. Thomas thinks a lot about this. And he says in one place, you see, he's to make atonement. Okay. We make reparation, we make atonement when we give back to the person offended something of greater, of equal or greater value than what they lost. So what did God the Father lose? He lost the love, the respect, and the obedience of Adam, and every darn one of us ever since. So in that act of love in which Jesus died, he gives back to the Father that love, that obedience, that trust. And that's what saves us. It had to be in an atmosphere of pain. But it's not the pain that saves us. It's the act of love. And in that act of love, he brought every one of us back, if we'll join that act of love, and turn our back on sin, and live what we're supposed to live, and therefore suffer. A lot, a little. Depends on God, depends on us. But you see, it's not that our sins were so bad that it took all that pain. All that pain, without the act of love, would never have saved us. Is all that pain animated, enlivened by the act of love that saves us? That's why Mark, well, all the Synoptic Gospels do this. Every time there's a prediction of the Passion, there is an inept response. Why? Because the Gospels are written not to tell a story, but to bring us into it. Watch yourselves. You see? Everybody's happy when we're at a party for Jesus. But we're not so happy when we're suffering for Jesus. You know? And things could be getting tighter, and we could be rejected and mocked. The whole darn church could split over issues, you see? And who's going to be left? Oh, you think you're so great. You're the great Catholic. Blah, blah. And then you feel embarrassed. Gee, I'm proud on top of everything else. And you've got to go through all that. And the Lord is saying, I am with you every step of the way. You have nothing to fear. If they start to cross-examine you, it will be given to you what to say. Don't worry ahead of time. The Spirit will be there to tell you what to say. And I know that's true. I know that's true. Don't worry. If it's going to cause you pain, you will be strengthened. You will have a joy in being united to Jesus even when you're in pain. Don't worry. Well, we're still going to worry according to the flesh. Oh my gosh, I hope it all doesn't happen. It's all going to have a happy ending. There's no doubt about a happy ending, my friends. Eternity with the Trinity. That's the happy ending. No doubt about that. And so you see, every time in the synoptic tradition, Matthew, Mark, Luke, that our Lord begins to talk about his passion, he brings us into it. You see? And promise us, you see? This time here, you see, these are challenges. See, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it forever. Now you see how, as we're going through the gospel, Mark, things are getting real. This is the first prediction of the Passion. There's two more, as I say, 1 in 9 and 1 in 10, I think. But it's saying, this is the vocation of who? The Son of Man, that glorious figure who is embodying in himself the saints of the Most High God, receiving from the Father I still have the page, don't I? Okay. You see? He received dominion, glory, and kingship. Nations and peoples of every language serve him. If we preach the gospel, it's not that we can be big shots over them, but that together we can rejoice in the good news. And if we've been given it, notice how, and it's only in Mark, this line, where it says, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, and Mark adds, and for the sake of the gospel. Only Mark says, don't forget the gospel. You've got to tell people. You've been gifted. The Trinity lives in you. And if you sin and lose it, he's already provided a way back. Have you told anybody about this? And now when you see all this happening, the darkness, the wars, the persecution, the whatever, it's about time we spread the good news. Amen.